Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda My first touch, it disappeared. So I guess we'll use the big format here. Huh? It's gone. I don't know how he got it there, but anyway. So I believe, does it show what verse this is, Prabhuji? This is chapter 23. I do know that from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya's continual teachings to Sanatana Goswami. And this is a verse. I don't know if it's... Okay. This is verse 53. And we will be covering 53 through 55. We'll chant 55 together. So I'll just read 53. Panchavidharasya shantadasya sakyavatsalya madura nama shingararasa sabhate prabhalya. There are five transcendental mellows: neutrality, servitorship, friendship, paternal affection, and conjugal love, which is also known as the mellow of sweetness. Conjugal love excels all others. 54. Shantarase shantirati prema paryantahaya dasyarati raga paryanta kramete bhadaya. The position of neutrality increases up to the point where one can appreciate love of Godhead. The mellow of servitorship gradually increases to the point of spontaneous love of Godhead. And to the verse that we'll chant together. Sakya vatsalya ratipaya anuraga simha. Subhalad yera bhava paryanta premera mahima. Sakya vatsalya rati paya anuraga simha. Subhaladyera bhava paryanta premera mahima. Anyone like to chant? Sakya vatsalya ratipaya anuraga simha. Subhala dhyera bhava paryanta premer mahima. Sakya vatsalya ratipaya anuraga simha. Subhala dera bhava paryanta premera mahima. Sakya vatsalya ratipaya anuraga sima. Subhalya dera bhava paryanta premera mahima. Sakya vatsalya ratipaya anuraga simha. Subhalya Subalya dera bhava paryant prema yama. Okay, the word for word, sakya, in friendship. Vatsalya, in parental affection. Rati, affection. Paya, obtains. Anuraga simha, up to the limit of subordinate spontaneous love. Subala adhyera, of friends like Subal and others. Bhava, ecstatic love. Paryanta, up to. Primera Mahima, the glory of love of Godhead. Translation. After the mellow of servitorship, there are the mellows of friendship and parental love, which increase to subordinate spontaneous love. The greatness of the love found in friends like Subal extends to the standard of ecstatic love of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the mellow of neutrality increases to simple love of Godhead. In the mellow of servitorship, love of Godhead increases beyond that to affection, counter-love, anger based on love and attachment. Similarly, the mellows of friendship increase to affection, counter-love, love, attachment, and sub-attachment. It is the same with the mellow of parental affection. The special feature of the mellow of friendship exhibited by personalities like Subal is that it increases from fraternal affection to counter-love, to spontaneous attachment, to subordinate attachment, and finally, to the ecstasy where all the ecstatic symptoms continually exist. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Panchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanyebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaste Girira Jaya Shri Govardhana Namane Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daini Vrindavani Vrinde Vishvapujita Pushpasaranandani Krishna Jivani Vishvapavani Tulsi. So here is continual discussions or explanation of devotional service given by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan Goswami. And we find it's sometimes quizzical that all these chapters, the last chapter and this chapter, we don't find in one of Sanatan Goswami's books. Well, we do find it, but we find them more in detail in Rupa Goswami's books. So you can just imagine the relationship between Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, that, you know, although Rupa Goswami wasn't present here, you can just imagine as brothers feeling great affection for each other. Do you know what Lord Chaitanya told me? You know, and then Rupa Goswami hears it all and he puts it into a very systematic understanding of what is devotional service. And Sanatan Goswami, he himself does also in other ways in his other books. But the pinnacle, you could say, for us Rupanugas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is our Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which encapsulates all of these teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada saw this as an important aspect in two of his earliest books, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya and The Nectar of Devotion. He considered this as very important for the devotees to understand this from our very beginning. So those were some of the first two books. I mean, he didn't finish the Bhagavatam, he didn't finish his Chaitanya Charitamrita, but those he had to get out because this is important to understand this. Now, when we say it's important to understand this, do we need to know what is mana and all these different details? Because this is quite detailed throughout this chapter. Actually, there's some repeating going on here too, because a number of texts before the same, practically some of the same things were spoken of, and it would have been easier in a book, but vibhava, anubhava, sattvika, vyabhachari, sthayibhava, rasa, hai, all the lists and lists of these different symptoms of what are... So why do we need to have a list of symptoms? Why do we need to understand these things? There's a number of reasons why. But we sometimes misunderstand that, okay, I got to linearly figure this out and go step by step by step. Possibly that may happen, but I'll mention something in a little bit where this all started from in this chapter. But because when we look at this, not only in the Chaitanya Charitamrita here, which we're studying, but in many of the books by Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they, in great, great detail, go through all of these different ingredients. Because, and the word is used, mellows, and the mellows is translated, is Prabhupada's translation of rasa, or relationship, or taste, even sometimes. So when we want to taste something, what do? We make a preparation, right? And the preparation has lots of ingredients. So this is the list of the ingredients. We heard about that, the hasya, the smiling, the laughing, and all these different ingredients that create this rasa. And a rasa gula, you could say, you know, it's a rasa gula. And so therefore, it is good to know, because if you want to create a taste in either your own understanding or in the understanding of others, you have to know how to cook. You have to know how to put those ingredients together. Just like I learned very early on in my cooking experience, that whenever you make a preparation with cabbage, you must have either some fennel or anise. And why is that? Otherwise, there will be lots of gas passing that you don't want to have that. So you need to counteract it. So if you don't know that, then your cabbage preparation would then become rasa basa, not a very good tasteful preparation, because you used the wrong ingredients. And so it is sometimes good to know these, although they will become apparent as we progress in devotional service. And again, as I mentioned, there are some of these books, like the end of Jiva Dharma. There are chapters and chapters and chapters of each of these ingredients. And not only are the ingredients, but how does this ingredient react with this particular mellow or relationship? How does this ingredient of laughter affect one in Sakya, in Vatsalya? And then when you say that, then okay, and then there are two different results of that. And then there's, from this result, there may be three different results. So that you can see the ingredients just building up and all the different interactions. And just like as a cook, or similar to an artist who is mixing colors, there are endless, endless tastes, endless presentations that one can have. And so, therefore, when we speak of Krishna consciousness or our relationship with Krishna, they are endless, endless relationships. And each one of those relationships is unique. It's not that, you know, I don't want to diss on cabbage and potato, but cabbage and potatoes, I mean, you know, it's okay, it's good, but, you know, but imagine, you know, cabbage, potatoes, and then you add some cauliflower, you add, you know, and, or you take out the cabbage and you you add something. So there's endless taste, endless situations, and each one is to provide a taste. And what is the taste for? Is for enjoyment. Now, because Prabhupada often would say that all of these relationships are also reflected pervertedly in the material world. So there is servitorship, there is friendship, there is parental relationships, and there is conjugal relationships, but they're perverted in the material world. And they don't provide a satisfying taste that completely satisfies one. So these are some of but again, all those different details, you know, and yeah, we could spend time kind of going through each one and how they interact. But I thought I'd like to speak on how wonderful it is that we even have this concept, because in many other understandings of relationships with God, I mean, there's so many either historical or current understandings of God that don't come close to understanding this. And so Prabhupada often would use that as a springboard as well to describe things. And I think Acharya Prabhu mentioned a few classes back that, you know, Prabhupada would give the example of, you know, the Prime Minister Gladstone and his, you know, he has a life. And so God also has a life. But the conception of God, oftentimes, again, historically, you know, there's the matriarchal God. There is the God is like the mother nature, and they or in certain cultures, they'll just see it's nature, there's God in nature. And when the sun comes up, they bow to the sun. When the volcano goes off, they bow to the volcano. There's like something inherent that, okay, everything is provided by the mother, so this nature itself is providing us. So there's understanding of God. And then the patriarchal God, which much of us in the Western world, we've kind of become accustomed to, of God as the father. And in that way, because with God as the mother, we feel there's some unconditionality. The mother will just keep supplying. Nature will just keep supplying. But as God as the father, there needs to be a reciprocal, there's almost a conditional. There's condition. You be a good boy, and I won't punish you. and then I will provide for you. But if you're a bad boy or a bad girl, you may, you know, of course nowadays there's none of that, but you may get a slapping. And so that's been primarily, at least what I've been brought up in the West, that's like the God of very strict rules, and if you don't follow them, if you go against him or sin, then you'll be eternally actually punished. There's a humorous, I think the artist was Gary Larson, a very humorous depiction of this type of God, that you know we're all used to computer screens now. So there's a still, you know, and he's just like he's a cartoonist, but just does one frame cartoon. So the frame is God is sitting at his desk, and he's got a computer screen in front of him, and he's got a keyboard, and the keyboard has this big button on it that says spite, and his finger is hovering over that button, and he sees on this computer screen a person kind of walking down the street underneath a piano hanging from a building. And so there's no caption or anything, but you kind of get, okay, is this God's job to like wait for that opportune moment to spite us? And so because, you know, perhaps the person walking under the piano has done something sinful or against God, therefore he must be spitten or spiten or spite upon. So this concept of God is certainly, that's a humorous depiction of it, but if you actually look into some of the understandings of different cultures and different followers of different understandings of God, that it basically comes out to that. If you sin, you will go to hell forever, and there's almost no way out. So when we begin to speak about, well, not only is God our Father, the seed-giving Father, as in Bhagavad Gita says, and he is the actual creator and maintainer of the material nature, his prakriti, his shaktis. So he's both of those, certainly. He is the Father, and he is the Mother. But beyond that, then there's so much more. I forgot what year it was, 72 or 74, when he was speaking, either in Los Angeles or Mayapur. There's two times he spoke on a particular verse in the first canto that depicted Damodar Leela. And he said, some people, they go to the worship, they worship God, and they come to worship the God. But we come and we want to punish. We're okay to punish God. And we become greater than God. So, and he kind of left it as like a moment, well, what do you think about that, you know? It's like, do we have that conception? So this Gladstone example that Prabhupada would give is that, yes, God is a person, and he has relationships, although what we may see may not be the entirety of his relationships. So Gladstone was a prime minister in the 1800s, for like 12, 15 years, a very long time, practically on the level of the king, you know, of England. And he, obviously very strict, he was very, you know, had to go to the work, and, you know, people would come to want to see him. And when they can't see him, they say, why can't I see him? And it was, Acharya told the story, but peeking in the keyhole, you know, what's so important? What's he doing so important that I can't see him? And he peeks in and he sees he's on all fours and his grandchild is on his back and get up. And, you know, he's controlling the Prime Minister of England. You know, this nobody kid, who is this kid compared to me? I'm another parliament member or whatever, whoever was coming to visit him. It's nothing compared to me, but he's completely controlled by him. So we may be surprised to see this, or certainly others are surprised to see this, that not only do we recognize that God is the Father, God is the Mother, he is the Creator, he is the maintainer of everything, but we also have the ability to understand the relationships. And quite wonderfully, in this chapter, all of this descriptions of the ingredients and the mellow, and it'll continue to go on, you know, different focusing on different ones of these rasas and how they're interacting with the different ingredients and how they change and how they enhance the taste for Krishna. But it all comes from the chanting of Hare Krishna, quite astonishingly. That this is where, because Lord Chaitanya says that when one starts chanting and when one starts chanting with taste, then these things start coming about. So it's not that we artificially try to find this relationship, this lost relationship with us, but we do it by the process of devotional service. And that's that's really the gift that Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada has given. And you could see that that is the gift, and that was also the intention of the gift of Lord Chaitanya. They said, I have come to give them what no other has ever given. I want to give them this understanding of these rasa, specifically the one of with conjugal love. Now, again, today is the day of love in the West, but what is it really? What is that? It is these tasteful ingredients put together for the service and enjoyment of the Supreme Beloved. And anything else other than that is a reflection. It becomes reflected. And those reflections don't have any longevity. So, again, thinking about, well, what is it going to take, or how is it, can somebody who only has a concept of God as a creator, as the all-powerful, how are they able to cross? And I did bring a little excerpt of a lecture, and I also would like to echo the appreciation of Ekanath that we are able to, you know, log in and pull off some wonderful statement that applies to many things. Whether we have our own questions, our own doubts, we can go, we can look. We didn't have that, you know, prior to the 80s, you could say. And I've always been a huge fan of the folio. And it's just such a wonderful, and I would say, I think I could say definitively that the quality of Srimad Bhagavatam classes have simply increased because of the availability of the Veda base. So anyway, this... Sorry, I got a frog. This is Srila Prabhupada speaking about God, the concept, and he's trying to... He's trying to convince his professor, his name is Lukak. This is in England in 1973. And actually, I heard this just a few weeks ago, and I wow, this is such a wonderful understanding of our conception of God and why, or under what conditions should we accept this particular presentation of God. And so, Prabhupada is saying, so here is God, Krishna. Now it is up to you to accept him or not. That is your business. But we are presenting, here is God. Here is his name. Here is his activity. Here is his devotees. He is accepted by so many stalwarts, so many scholars, so many devotees, so many shastras. That we are presenting, here is God. You are searching after God. So if anybody says, I'm searching after God, I am a follower of God, then, okay, here's the conversation that should happen. You are searching after God. Here is God. See him. But if you do not accept, that's your business. If you say, why shall I accept him as God? That can also be explained. Yes, you must accept him because this is the qualification. And these are the qualifications of God. And there, all the qualifications are there. Suppose if I ask you, can you define what is God? And then there was a pause, and then he looks at the professor, can you? And I'm surmising that he must have looked at the professor. Can you? And the professor, well, God embraces everything. You know, again, this very vague concept of God, the all-powerful, he embraces everything, or somebody will say God is love or God is kindness, and then Prabhupada says that is not a proper definition. God embraces everything. That is one of the qualities. He embraces everything. Then why? Then so you say he embraces? He says yes. So he's using a little logic. So if you say he's embracing, how do you embrace? You use arms. And who has arms? People have arms. So he's a person, but they'll say, oh, you know, so he'll go on. So where from do impersonal ideas come from? This is real knowledge. And if you say he embraces, the next question is, who is that he? Is it not? And Professor Locock says, yes. you can't argue with it. Then you have to say, who is that he? If you cannot, then your knowledge is imperfect. But we say, here is God, here is Krishna, God, and those who are accepting, they are getting the benefit. So we are not presenting something fictitious, presenting real on the authority. Just like if I say, you are searching after spectacle. Here is spectacle. So you test it by putting it on your ear. He said, then you say, oh, yes, that is a spectacle. So simple. It's like, here is spectacle. Well, I don't know. Oh, it is a spectacle. Similarly, we are putting, here is God. So you try to love, and this is the process of loving him. This is the process of loving him, as was stated. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're developing these, we're softening our heart. First, we're cleaning the heart, but when that happens, the heart is softening. Snapanam, sarvatma snapanam, we become bathed in the chanting of Krishna's name, and we become softened, and then vidyavadu jivanam, then all the knowledge, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti, with love and affection we're chanting, and that we're asking for service, and in this service Krishna provides the knowledge to understand some of these very technical details. So if you accept everything, you will see, yes, I have got God. This is practical, not imaginary. And then he's doing a little bragging about his disciples. He said, so these disciples, they do not know what is God. I have simply said, here is God, Krishna, you love him. And they are loving, they are realizing. Yes, realizing. Now, so now he's a little challenging. So and he's looking at some of the devotees there. He says, and again, this I'm extrapolating on because I'm a technical listener, but now convince him that he, Krishna, is not God. He will never become convinced because he has got the reality. You cannot try to deviate him. No, no, it is not God. Do it. Give it a try, you know. Any scholar, any acharya, let them come, any yogi. So now he's saying, let anyone else come say that Krishna is not God and try to convince us of that. They will be defeated. Sticky paper here. Firm conviction. They can argue. They can convince you. Yes, here is God. And if somebody challenges Krishna is not God, so we would say, you know, for me, we would say, forget you, you know, I don't need to listen to you. But no, he's saying, if not, then what will you say? Who is God? And if you present a better conception of God, I will accept it. And then I think earlier he quotes Savaipam Sampro Dharmo Yato Bhakti, that real religion or real understanding of God will give a result that they have love of God without any cessation, without any inebriations, ahoitaki apratiyata, it'll be pure love. So however you get it, that doesn't matter. And I think it's not forward, I think it was back. He was saying just like, you're a PhD, you're a doctor, but it doesn't matter where you got it from. You could have gone to this college or that college or the other college, but we accept you as PhD because you have gone through the process, you have gotten it. And so similarly, Savaipam Sampa. It doesn't matter if you have love of Godhead with these qualities, Ahoitakiya Pratiyata, then that is good. Then we'll accept it. And then he says, you have to ask, what is God? You present what is God. If he says, I do not know, then accept my God, accept Krishna. If you don't accept Krishna as God and you present your God, you said that, and you say it is not a spectacle. So that means you must know what is a spectacle. And if you cannot present, then what is the value of saying no? So if they say, oh, I can't accept Krishna as God, I can't accept him as a child, as coming to, or he has friends, I can't accept. But you have to give a better understanding of God than that. Anyway, it goes on, but I believe I'm getting out of time. So we will, and I wanted to speak something on Subal Sakha too, but time is gone. Any questions or comments? Yes, Vegati. Do it, microphone, yeah.
Hare Krishna, thanks. That was a very wonderful presentation. I thought of a couple of things. When you were talking about the comparison to cooking, I remember I was like brand new. I was still on Kauai. It was, one or two years into it, but somehow I was reading CC, and they came across some description of a particular loving quality that's compared to curd, a mixture of curd, sugar candy, and a little black pepper.
Wow, look at this, This I can prove it, I'll read it here. It says, yogurt mixed with sugar candy, black pepper, and camphor is very palatable and tasty.
Whoa. And that means not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord, just see. And, that point at the end when you were saying, reminds me of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I believe it's an essay called Universal Religion, but in there, I'm just paraphrasing, that if there is a condition of pure love of God, like this ahoitukiya pratihata, unmotivated, uninterrupted, then that is, they're experiencing braja, but they may not have words like gopi, gopa, and Govardhan Hill. Mm. So that's pretty far out. And if I have another question, if there's sufficient time, do talk about Subal.
Okay, I'll try. But I did want to say that oftentimes Prabhupada would say we're not a religion, we're a science. And just as with, the cooking is a science, art is a science. These are very important thing that you do this and you'll get this. And, I often think of like the chemist, because somebody may not like yogurt mixed with sugar candy, black pepper, and camphor. But that's okay, because not everyone has the same set of taste buds, and that's what makes Krishna consciousness so wonderful, that it doesn't have to be just this one preparation, cabbage and potatoes. But it's so many preparations. And that's what continues in this chapter. How many different tastes, how many different flavors are there by the ingredients being mixed. And some people, I'm one of them, but I do not like black salt. I mean, it appalls me, but some people love it in preparations. And so all of these things are there, and they're okay, but that science of knowing for what preparation or what taste or what rasa, what are the ingredients in that, that's quite wonderful. Anyone else? I see a hand and my old roommate. Go ahead. Uh-oh. Here it goes.
So speaking of taste and Ross and Mellows, a lot of this is like beyond me, but the question that's stuck in my mind is there a cabbage in the spiritual world? And if so, what should we do about it?
Yeah, it does. She beat me to it. But yes, there's probably a cabbage in the spiritual world. Achari, you had a question.
Yeah, thanks. I wanted to echo what Vegavati said, that the cooking example was really spot on, especially as it applies to the utility of actually learning these things. Mm. The other thing that really struck me.
Hare Krishna.
There you
Sorry.
Go.
The other thing that...
There's a science of microphone use, actually.
The other thing that really really struck me was the image. Now I have like this fantasy going on in my head of after Sanatana Goswami finishes speaking with Mahaprabhu, and then later on he's meeting with Rupa Goswami, he's going, oh, you know what, Mahaprabhu, he told me this and he told me that, and they're discussing it and churning the ideas together, and you know, for days, weeks, years, they're probably doing this. Oh,
yeah.
Mahaprabhu explained this, and they're discussing it, and churning it, and developing it, and then putting it in the books. That whole image really struck
sweet.
Me.
Very sweet, yeah. Now, the verse did talk about Subalsaka, and there is a wonderful... I'll just use the last 5 minutes for this. There's a wonderful description in Raghunath Das Goswami's Vrajvilastava, a single verse about Subalsaka. And he said Subalsaka was so attached and so much in love with Krishna and that he would not be out of Krishna's contact, especially, and it's just described, he would not let go of his hand ever. Even in dreams. So he was so attached. And Subalsaka has the bodily characteristics similar to that of Srimati Radharani. And so he is golden complexion and very wonderfully beautiful. And so there's a wonderful little pastime that of Subalsaka. And in that... That he is, because there's kind of like, he's not just a friend, but he's a friend that enhances, so he's in the Sakya category, but he's also supporting the Madhurya category. So you can see that it's not just, okay, I'm a Sakya, but that's it, we're just buddies and friends, but no, there's also a mixture, and sometimes Balaram is in a parental way, and sometimes, you know, there's a lot of, again, I sometimes think, because now they have this paint that is like whiteboard, and I'm thinking someday I'm going to paint the room, my room, with this whiteboard so that I can put all these connections of these different terms, because I can't do it in my head, I can't do it just by reading them, and I can't even do it on a piece. I need like a whole wall of like, okay, suck your ass, and then boom, 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 you know, because we see it, it's in there in those books. But anyway, he's just constantly thinking of Krishna. So one day he came upon Krishna, and Krishna was very melancholy, and he was just sitting, and it was very easy, and Subalsaka is natural, it's to get Krishna happy, and let's go, do. And no, and he said, what is wrong, Krishna? He says, oh, Radha is not here. And he said, okay, but she'll come, don't worry. Well, he says, no, I don't want to. And then he saw the tears flowing from Krishna's eyes. And then Subalsaka said, okay, I have to do something. And so he said, you wait here. And he goes to Yavat, where Radharani is living with her so-called husband and her so-called mother-in-law. And... when he gets there, and they have like courtyards and they have like walls and they have doorways. So Jatila's sitting on guard, you know, in the doorway. And anybody who comes, she's making, nobody leaves, Radha won't leave, and nobody's coming in, and, you know, she's always suspect of something, and Subal comes, oh, Mata, Mata, my calf, I think my calf is, we've been looking all over for my calf, I cannot find the calf, where is it? I think it has run into your courtyard. And she said, you're the friend of that dark complexion boy, but if he'll get rid of you, go ahead and look for the calf. And so he walks. He said, well, can I get in the door? She said, I just ate. I cannot move. Just walk over me. So he walks over, and he goes in, and he doesn't even look in the courtyard. He just goes straight to Radha's room, and he says, Radha, Krishna wants to see you so badly. He needs to see you. And she says, well, I want to see him too, but how do I do, how can we do it? He says, well, look, we have the same complexion, and why don't you take my clothes and dress up as me, and I'll take your clothes and dress up as you, and then you can go and see Krishna. And she says, oh, well, how can I? And then he said, don't worry. So they exchange each other's dress, and she, amazingly, she looked just like Subal Sukha with a turban and a dhoti and, you know, everything. And then, but she was afraid that, oh, I'll still be noticed due to different, you know, bodily characteristics. And he said, don't worry, here's the calf I was looking for. And just put the calf in your arms and carry that calf, you know, And then she does it. She picks up the calf and she walks to the doorway and Jatila's there and he said, good, you found that calf. Now get out of here. You go to that dark complexion friend of yours right now. Get away. And okay, you know, off she goes to see Krishna. Now Subal Sukha, he's stuck there now, in Radharani's dress, but then Jatila looks at her Apple Watch or whatever she has to tell time. Oh, it's noontime. You have to go to Suryakund. What are you doing here? Now get out. You have to go to Suryakund and do your different worship to Surya. And so Subal escapes. So, but it's this wonderful, well, there's a little P.S. to this story that when Radharani arrives to Krishna, at Krishna's, she's continuing to play as Subal for a moment. And he said, well, I couldn't find Radha. Why don't you just go to Chandravali? And Krishna says, no, only Radharani. And then she said, oh, okay. And she was kind of testing him. So these tastes are just full on throughout Krishna's pastimes. And, you know, we're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given what he's given to us, and we can also aspire to taste. So we are now out of time. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.